You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
So let's get to our author. We're inside the book club edition feature, Inside the Human Impact. And it's an interesting story. Let's first introduce our author for today. Miss Kathy Hamblin is a self-employed author working in legal and government services in Barbados. She's a self-published fiction writer. And the book, we have a little synopsis on the book, but I think I will let the author introduce the book this morning. Good morning to you, Miss Hamblin, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your writing journey. What made you decide to pick up a pen or a laptop or a typewriter and decided to write your stories?
Well, let me just say that I am an accidental author. I really did not settle to write a book, although I've been encouraged by friends, a few friends, to write that book, primarily because I would write stupid things on Facebook that they find funny, so they thought it could translate into a book. And then December 2024, Christmas Day 2024, I heard this lady say to her children, come for hot dogs. It was Christmas morning, and I was a little appalled because here in Barbados, the usual fare for Christmas morning breakfast is definitely not hot dogs. It's the Bajan ham cutter. Mm-hmm. And I set about then writing an ode to the Bajan ham cutter, which I thought was nearing or in danger of extinction. And I became obsessed with the ham cutter and Bajan traditions, which I thought were in danger. And then about 3 weeks into writing about a ham cutter, believe it or not, this story popped into my head. This young lady popped into my head, and I just could not stop writing. And this is how we ended up with Dirty Jean.
So why Dirty Jean being the label of the book? Because when first of all, I thought it was like Jean, D&E. Is that it, or is it someone named Jean? Not to give away too much on the book, but
I don't want to give away too much. But
yeah,
the title character, you are right. It was a play on words. Mm-hmm. Dirty Jean, in the sense that his genetic makeup was flawed. Dirty also in the sense of the horrific things that he did both to women, children, and even animals. And then, of course, when he went missing, he did go missing. Hmm. He was clad in dirty jeans. So it was a way of playing on two words. And there it was.
Is it something, well, like you said, not to give too much away, is it something that should be discussed in Caribbean life? That's why you wanted to bring it to the fore, to have it discussed?
Yes, most definitely. One of the central themes in the book is child abuse, physical, emotional, and sexual. Mm-hmm. And what I found, even as I was writing, was that we tend to whisper about sexual abuse in all forms. And, you know, I listened as some, well, I read some blogs when there were certain cases reported, some of them prominent and others not. And I listened to the comments. I read some of the comments that were made. And to me, people tended to blame the victims, mm-hmm. and give the alleged perpetrators a pass. So I thought that this is a topic which we really need to talk about. We need to stop whispering about it. We need to stop using asterisks to describe some of the words, although I understand why we do that on certain platforms because of the algorithms and so on. Mm-hmm. But it is a subject that I was surprised, having written the book, that so many people came forward and had stories to share about their own personal experiences. So it is definitely something we should be talking about.
In terms of culture of the Caribbean, do you think that we have grown to one, acknowledge that this is an issue, and two, to deal with it effectively so that the trauma doesn't pass on to next or other generations? Or is there a lot that we should be doing still?
I really think there's a lot more we should be doing. I really don't think that we deal with it as effectively as we should. For example, I don't know about Trinidad, but for sure in Barbados, every year we have young girls going missing. Some go missing for long periods at a time. And the first thought is that, oh man, she must be with a man. And there's at the ground level, among the masses, there's no thought as to perhaps there's a reason why she left home. Perhaps there's, and that is something that I tackled in the book, the blame. And, you know, so we're not doing as much, I think, at the national level, even at the, in terms of among us, the ordinary citizens, to really confront this issue. And we will not be able to stamp it out, but surely we would be able to improve the lot of those persons who go through these situations and deal with them every day. And some of them, or most of them, will be dealing with the issues related to abuse for decades to come. Some will go to their graves having never really gotten over the situation. So we do need to have some work done to ensure that this is not a generational issue.
You did say when you started reading, or should I say writing, the story, you said a lot of persons came forward with their stories. Has it been a cathartic experience for those persons to finally have a writer put into words what they're feeling? What was that like for you?
Well, let me just say that when I spoke to people, I spoke to them after the book was written, after the book was published. So there are no real stories in the book. Mm-hmm. Just let me make that clear. But those persons to whom I spoke after the book was published, and even just before it was published, it really allowed them some release. I remember one lady crying for over an hour because she said that was the first time she was able to talk about what she'd gone through. And she said she'd never really acknowledged the abuse. She just set it aside. She just ignored it. But hearing another story, even though fictional, allowed her an opportunity to speak about her own experience, which she suffered at the hands of her father. And this is 35 odd years on, and she still has not dealt with it.
And bringing that space, that safe space, how important it is for young readers. You know, I'm thinking to, let me ask this question first. Your book, it is on Amazon. Is it in schools? Is it a tool that is being used now to embrace and to start the conversations?
It is not in schools. I am a little hesitant about it going into schools.
Okay. Depending on the age, huh?
Yes, the audience is 18 and over that I targeted.
Okay.
And I would say that primarily because there is bad language in the book.
Okay. We expressed ourselves freely.
Yes, the expression is very Caribbean and most definitely very Bajan, even though we're dealing with a fictional island. Mm-hmm. But there are issues that young people who are faced with those situations, that I dealt with in the book, and perhaps they could draw something from it. But there's that fear that it might be a little too advanced for some of them.
But it still brings us space to have the discussions. Is it that it will be a series, or is it a one theme expressed and you have other ideas for your other books?
Other books. I don't know. I don't know so much about the other books, although this one does leave room open for a sequel. Mm-hmm. But for sure, a sequel will not go along the same lines. I think this one was really heavy. This one was very draining emotionally as I was writing it, even though it was not my lived experience. It was still hard to write. It was still hard to deal with the emotions that came out in the book. But if I were to write again something else, it would have to be, I would like it to be, to flow as organically as this one did, because I didn't have a predetermined script. I didn't have an outline. I just wrote whatever came to mind.
And what are the themes? This is not your first book, correct?
This is my first book.
It is. How are you feeling for your first premiere, first book? How does it feel?
I'll say I'm humbled at the response. When I wrote it, I was saying that if I sold 10 copies, I would feel as though I wrote a bestseller. No, I've surpassed that. And the responses, the reviews have been phenomenal. Everyone has said the same thing. It's a hard read, but it's an important read, and it's a compelling read as well. So I do feel very enthused by the response.
And what other plans do you have? What other themes would you like to explore? Are you into, well, this is fiction, but not science fiction. Would it be genres like that?
Probably it would be fiction again, most definitely. Most of my writing has been academic. And so this was a serious departure from what is my norm. And if I were to write again, I do have ideas knocking around in my head. And if I were to write again, it would definitely be fiction.
And based on Barbados, so would you set it in a different climate? Let's say Europe in cold winter. Would that happen?
I don't. I hate cold winter. So I feel like I need to write about Caribbean issues for Caribbean people in a language we understand, a context we understand, and so something that we could relate to. So I don't know about Europe.
As we were talking about CARICOM today, I wanted to get a writer's perspective on what you're seeing happening in terms of integration and bringing people together. What would be the message you would give to them as a writer going into this meeting?
Well, I know for a fact, I am a member of the class of 1997 of Hugh Wooding and Norma Manley Law Schools. And we are a microcosm, a micro set of CARICOM. We represent every island in the region. And we have achieved in the class of 97 something that we've not seen at the level of CARICOM. So I think that at the grassroots level, we've accomplished, we know how to accomplish regional integration. At the state level, we have a lot of, individualism. You know, everybody wants to be their boss. So, and I don't have a problem with that, but it that does not help to move the needle anyway. You know, so I really think that we can, as a region, come together, but there has to be an appetite for it. And quite frankly, I don't see it at the level of the statesmen.
Which is interesting, because the movement, as you said, happens on the ground. Persons who make economies work, the workers, the persons who experience life. How can we, from a writer's perspective, really move the persons who are decision makers, as you say, the statesmen? And thinking that, seeing as Barbados has retained their prime minister, Miss Mia Motley, do you think she's doing a good job going in that direction to be that voice for further integration and understanding what citizens really need?
May I offer no comment at all on that?
Sure. But as a writer still, bringing the stories that you're hearing on the ground as it relates to integration and so on, is there a way that we can really get that message to the statespersons?
The question is whether they are prepared to listen to us. When we have leaders who And I need to be very careful what I say. When we have leaders who believe they know what is best for the people without engaging the people, we'll have problems. We will always have problems. So I don't know how a writer, how we can engage them to that point where they help us to move where we need to be as a unified region. It is that for me would be a challenge.
And I think it's one that maybe the creatives should take on, because they seem to be a little disconnect. I don't know. Just listening to how persons interact with bringing what is necessary for persons to have the quality of life that they dream of and they write of, and they look to create in paintings and, you know, movements. I think that we should come together as persons to really bring that message to statesmen. As they say, the pen is mightier than the sword.
That is quite true. And I would say that, like, how I'm here today, having this conversation with you, this is a chain of CARICOM citizens coming together to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And we should be able to expand on linkages such as these for the betterment of our region. I don't know, somebody has to start the conversation somewhere. Is that person me? I don't know. I don't mind joining in the conversation. It has to be started somewhere.
So future plans.
Someone with a bigger voice.
I think collectively we would be a greater voice. Ms. Hamlin, what about your projects for the future? Do you see yourself coming into, well, you said a sequel for this book. Would it translate into short film? Do you see yourself going in that direction?
Absolutely not.
So no J.K. Rowling kind of vibes?
No. This book took me 1 year to write, an entire year. And getting to the point of publishing, I was not even sure, even having gone through all of that, I was not even sure about taking that leap and publishing. I did eventually, but it was somewhat of a challenge, especially once I published, because then I felt like I lost a family member. It was like there was a death in the family, because I no longer had these characters that I could tweak and twist and do whatever I wanted to with them. So I don't know if I see myself doing more than writing a little novel that a couple of people will read and find entertaining and enlightening, you know.
Okay, I hear you. And because I'm thinking that from the, how to put it, breaking the ice, or, you know, getting to the point of, yes, I did it, it may, you know, encouraged to go on again. And you brought up self-publishing. What was that process like? And is it a process that you would go through again?
I would go through it again. And the reason why I opted for self-publishing, when I was partway through the book, well, I thought I had finished the book in April of 2025. I reached out to a friend who is published, and I told her what I had, and she said, well, you don't have a novel yet, you have a novella. And I had to go back and do some more writing, but she also sent me links to various book prizes and competitions and so on, and it was such a maze of things to do, and I was reading on publishing the traditional way, and for me that was such a task, such an undertaking, especially with me dealing with a busy practice and so on. So eventually self-publishing on Amazon was suggested. I took the plunge and I engaged an editor early December of 2025. And within about a 2 week period, we were uploading the book to Amazon. It was a very simple process. He walked me through it. His name is Mr. Robert Gibson. He walked me through the process. And I would do it again.
Well, here's to good luck finding inspiration for book two, sequel to your Dirty Jean. And yeah, continued success. Thank you so much for taking the time, Ms. Hamlin, for coming in and talking to us about the process. And best of luck to you.
Thank you so, so much for having me. It's been my pleasure.
All right, take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.